God is give that glory to them? Did he give his glory to them? No, it's their own glory, but God, it comes from God. It doesn't diminish God in any way. God is never less. Remember that. Never. And sometimes we have to learn that, because when we get in a difficult spot and we're praying, especially for a miracle, if you got a sickness, a disease, you can never think God is less. There's a maybe or might not. I don't know if it will. That should never pop up. That can't be in our, because if it is, then we lack in that area. To produce that thought, there's a lack in that area of our understanding of who God is. And we want to fill that. And I've been just seeking the Lord. It's different. It's so different. Because you want to make sure that you walk soft before God. And you want, you know, I'm asking God for some big things. I'm praying and asking God for some incredible things. I'm praying and asking God for him's demonstrations. And to have those things, we have to make sure that we understand God and honor God for who he is. So I want to take some time maybe to take some of your questions. Every now and then we'll take some time and we'll take some questions. We've been talking about some pretty, they're a lot different. And we're saying some, making some statements, I believe, that'll challenge you. It'll challenge your doctrine. It'll challenge your belief system. So I'm gonna open up with one verse of scripture, and then I'll just kind of leave you think about it. Maybe you have some questions, but I got a lot of verses of scripture I could give you on talking about God's name, his name. And when you see in the scripture where it says Lord God. And depending on what translation you have, when they came to God's name, the translators did not want to disrespect or take the name of God in vain. So they wouldn't use that name. They replaced it with the word Lord, all capitals. But when you read it in the original text, that word Lord is not there. So when you read it in its original Hebrew Bible, where you see capital L-O-R-D, all caps, that's a replacement for the Lord's name, for God's name, rather. For God's name. So they would put Lord God. I'm sure you've heard that term mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament. Lord God. Lord God. So Lord is it's kind of given a title. Like Dr. Jones, Lord God. But that name there, Lord, is really God's name, his given name. Because God has a name. And so I'm going to give them to you in most of your translations. Are going to have Lord God there. So I want you to know that when you read in the scripture that you'll see that. You'll see it in the scripture. But I also want you to understand that's God's name, his personal name. God has a name. And most people can go to church almost all of their life and they would not know God. If you say, what's God's name? They'll say, God. Right? They'd say God. Well, God is what he is. But what is his name? Does that make sense to you? God is what he is. He's God. But he has a name. So if I'm a doctor, you know, I work with a lot of doctors all the time. Well, I always call them, hey, doc. And I do it so much, I rarely use their name. Rarely. I say, hey, doc. And then I got another doc. He comes out, hey, doc. They're all docs. Well, it's not their name. You know, I like to meet Doc, and that's Doc, and this is Doc. But they all have names. And so if I'm in a different setting that I need to make sure I address their names, so say there's five of them in the same room, I don't, hey, Doc, because all of them go, huh? Right? I'll use their names. And so I want you to understand that when we go through this, okay? So I'm going to give you quite a few verses. I won't give them all to you. There are hundreds of them. But it'll kind of give you an idea, and you start going through your Bible. When you're going through your Bible, start marking every time you see Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. Why you need that? Because you'll find out that the Lord God, He's all over the place. And we need to know that. Sometimes God gets kind of lost in the shuffle. And in our society today, very little said about God. More things are said about Jesus. And listen, I want you to understand, this is not in any way God, Jesus, and God. There's no jealousy there. You understand that? God is not jealous of Jesus. And Jesus is not jealous of God. But God is a jealous God. That's what he said. And he will not share his glory with another. Let me understand that. He will not share his glory with another. We can't take God's glory from him. We shouldn't want to take God's glory from him. It's his glory. That's why when he speaks about Jesus, he said he's going to come in his glory. What glory? Jesus has his own glory. He's going to come in that. And I'll be sharing quite a bit of that on Sunday with you about the difference between God's glory. I mean, there's nothing. We start with God's glory and then we look for everything else we can find to compare it to, there's nothing that we can use. That's how much we have to understand. When you look into my glory and you start finding out God, the glory, it's amazing. So I want you to keep that in mind. Very important. So go to Deuteronomy. I want to emphasize to everyone on our what we're going to do is on Thursday, as we take our little pause, just a little break from our Revelation study, and when we get back on, we'll hit that 14th chapter, and then we're going to run all the way to the end of the Revelation. So we got 14 all the way through. We got to get to 22. We'll have a lot of studies still to do. In that process of that, I want you to remember this. I want you to bring some paper, a Bible, stuff to mark things with, highlighters. Bring all that with you on Thursday night. Because we're going to start going through the Bible, and we're going to start marking every scripture that we can that deals with this stuff, these subjects. And we're going to see the difference between God and Jesus. We're going to see a distinct difference, and we're going to look at that throughout the Word, okay? One of the things I want to start looking at is the creed of Israel. This is the creed of Israel, and I want you to keep this in mind, the creed of Israel. So if you want to know what Israel, the Jews, lived by, they had a creed, and this is it. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." How many see that? Verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. Notice these words that he says. Now, the word here in the original text would be Shema. So when somebody says, Shema Israel, that means hear Israel. Shema means to hear. So keep that in mind. Because the Jews say, they go over this prayer or this saying, this quote, three times a day at least. When they wake up in the morning, they go, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay? How many is the Lord? How many is he? Now, one there is very important. It's the word Ahad. And it's numerically one. Keep that in mind. Numerically one. So if a Jewish kid starts to count, what would they start with? Ahad. We do it in English. We'd start with what?
One.
Who in here, if you started, I said count to 10, you'd go 3, 6, 9, 12. Anybody? No, we wouldn't do that. Why? Because we weren't taught that. We know if I'm going to start to count from 1 to 10, if I told you right now, anybody in here, if I said count from 1 to 10, what would you start with?
1.
That's sensible, right? That's pretty easy to learn. So Israel also understood that. So the creed, and I want you to get this. Keep this in mind. The creed of Israel, God's chosen people that he chose for a reason. And as we go through these studies, I'm going to teach you what he meant. Why did he choose Israel? Why did he say to Abraham at a very, very specific time in history, God said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your family, and you're going to go to a place that I'm going to show you. Well, there was a lot going on at this time. There was a lot of stuff happening at that time. Things weren't going very well. So what God did, he separated a people out of a people for a very specific purpose. And we're going to get into that as we go through each study. Our studies are going to be, they're going to vary. I'm going to try to do it on Thursday night where I'll bring one short study to the table. Maybe I'll bring where we'll talk about the word Elohim. And we'll deal with the word Elohim, which is God. In the beginning, Elohim. It's a word for God. Maybe we could do that. And then next Thursday, I'll do another one, another way that God is described throughout the scripture. So when we go to read in the Bible, we'll understand that when we read in the beginning God, that word God there is Elohim. And Elohim is always in the plural. Always in the plural. That's why it's got him on the end. And maybe one Thursday we can cover that. And then one Thursday we can deal with the Ahad. Or just deal with that one thing. Talking about what does it mean and how it means numerically one. And there's reasons behind that. Because some people teach today that Ahad or one means three. That would be pretty crazy to think that. But we're going to look at that. That's why we have Bible study. We want to look at it. And again, like I said, you bring your Bible, bring your markers, write this stuff down, go back home, get your commentaries. Get you a good lexicon. Go back and study this over. If you see anything that we're not saying, mistaken, bring it back. Let's look at it together. This is how we're going to learn together. I don't have all the answers. I'm just giving you what I've studied and seen. I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing. There's one God. When he says there's one Lord, I believe him. And I believe one means one. There's one God. Now, when I say one God, what I mean is this. There's one most high God. Most high God. Because people throughout the scripture were referenced as a God. This is what the Most High God said to Moses. He said, I'll make you a God to Pharaoh. That's what he told Moses. He said, I'll make you a God to Pharaoh. Did that make Moses the Most High God? No. But he was a representative. Nonetheless, Moses did some pretty incredible things in front of men's eyes. People witnessed this stuff. He said, I'll make you a God to Pharaoh. That didn't make him the Most High God. The Bible also says the judges were called gods. The judges in the book of Judges. How many of you have read or seen that in the scripture? The judges were called gods. Did that make them God? Did that make them the Most High? No, they were. That was an appointed position. Appointed. So remember, I made this statement a while back and the Lord just brought it back to my remembrance. If you are anointed means somebody else done it. Jesus was the anointed. My question is, who anointed him? The one Most High God. Remember that. If you are anointed, somebody done that. And that's what we have to understand about God. So hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, talking about God, is one. Now go to Mark. Keep that in mind. You have wrote those down. I read 4, 5, 6. I read that to you. So he said, these things you keep in your heart, just shall be in your heart. Didn't he say that? All right, go to Mark. In your Bibles. Verse 28. 12. Mark 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. You might want to mark these because we're going to go back and reference some of these. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him. Who is he asking something to? He's asking Jesus. Talking about Jesus here. What commandment is the foremost of all? Now this is Jesus being asked a question by a scribe. A scribe is a very learned person. They take manuscripts and they're able to scribe. They're able to translate. They're very learned. So he hears them arguing about, they're arguing about doctrine, and Jesus is correct. How many of you know Jesus corrects bad doctrine? How many of you know it's important that we follow Jesus in fixing our doctrine if it's bad? I think we should. We should fix it if it's bad. Remember, I talked to you on Sunday about if you're going to get in a boat and you're going to go for a long ways, and which I've done this before, and you look behind you and you go, man, you know, there ain't no land, there ain't no rig. I can kind of judge off this rig. And you know, anybody ever follow you way out, you see a rig, and you say, well, I got to go and know if I keep going left to that rig, I'm going to get where I'm going. Well, what happens when there's no rigs and there's no land? And there's nothing. You're going to look at your compass and you're going to get a heading. You're going to reference your charts. And you got to make sure you check yourself often. Let me give you an example of how this feels. Some of you guys say, I ain't ever been off in the sea. I've been with my dad in the fog, though. And I remember doing this since I've been a little boy. And he get in the fog and start going. Well, it's just like being in the open water when there's nothing, you can't see anything but white. So you got, what are you referencing? You're not referencing something you can look at and say, well, I got to line up with that. No, you're looking at stuff. You're looking at the water. You're looking at the waves. You're looking at the current. And you kind of, and you got, you got an idea where you are, but you got to, and how many of you know the best of the best? If you got, you got to keep checking, you can get way off. Anybody ever get way off in the fog? I've been way off in the fog before. And there's been times that God's graced me and I got it right. But it was because I constantly checked myself, constantly checked myself. Why do we have to check ourselves? We got to check ourselves often to make sure that what we're saying is correct. What we're teaching is correct. Some people don't want to check themselves at all. They say, well, that's how we do it here. Well, that's, you can't do anything about that. But one thing you can do is every time you get an opportunity, you can show, you can say it in the Word. This is what the Word says. Now, do we want to keep going all against the Word of God? So our job is to show the truth. So you got to keep checking yourself. So here's Jesus. He's having a conversation and he gets asked this question. What's the greatest or foremost commandment? What's the most important thing? Listen to what Jesus said. How many know we ought to listen to Jesus? You know, if he says something, we ought to listen to him. Jesus says, Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That was Jesus' creed also. So the Jews had a creed. So people said, well, you know, I ain't Jewish. I don't believe, I'm not going to follow the Jewish creed. Well, Jesus was a Jew. Was he not? Yes, he was. And he had a creed. Jesus had a creed. Now, he could have decided, you know, there were 10 commandments, real stern commandments that he knew. He knew those commandments from his youth. But he didn't say that. He didn't pull one of those out. He said, the greatest and foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Why is that important? Why is it important that we get that right? Because, listen, if we get it all mixed up, that there's more than God. There's more than God. If there's more than God, then what do we do in a crisis? If we feel like God's not doing it. We're gonna launch out to other things because we believe there's more. But we got to focus. The church has to focus. We got to realize there's one God. And one, and it means one. I said this to, I brought this up in the staff meeting. And I said, it would be like me and Charlotte. We go to town and we don't go to McDonald's. I don't know when's the last time I've been to McDonald's. Except to get a cup of coffee. They got good coffee. They got the best coffee. I'm just saying. Anyway, I had to give them a little plug because I don't like anything else they got. But anyway, just say we went to McDonald's because I know that they have the dollar menu. All right? So you wheel up in the McDonald's and you say, yeah, I'd like to get one of those dollar burgers you got there. And they said, all right. Anything else? Nope. That's all I want. So they ring you up and they said, that'll be $3. And you're going to go, well, what are you talking about? It's a dollar menu. And they said, yeah, but it's a compound one. It's compound one. It really means three. You're going to go, what? Serious. It'd be like trying to get children, you know, and you tell the children, you get them, and they say, you know, when they were kids, you'd say, listen, I'll give you this one for that one. You know, the money change? People, you know, they try to pull that on you. So they got like a $10 bill, and you say, I got three ones. You want three of them or one? They go, yeah, give me three. I mean, you could pull it on kids all the time. But we shouldn't be getting pulled on. Right? Well, not if we're growing. Now, when you got older, you go, I want you $3. You know, you put your 10 back in your pocket and you go down. But little kids, I remember when we were little, my grandpa, he would always play that. He'd pull out a bunch of ones. Man, he had a lot of ones. And you'd have a 20 and he'd have like five ones. You go, man, he's got five. I'll take them five. You know, see, you just got it. So, You wouldn't, if you went to McDonald's and you said, I want the dollar burger, and they told you three, you'd tell them, listen, I don't know where you get that counting from, but we ain't doing no, but it's a compound one. And that's what people are teaching today. They're saying that when it says in the Bible that there's one Lord, they're really meaning three Lords. Doesn't make sense, does it? Folks have been following this for over 1,700 years. Smart people. Learned people. So I'm just going to say that in the scripture, Jews had a creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Then Jesus repeated that creed. If you're reading from American Standard Bible, if you're reading from one of them, what they do in their translation of the manuscripts is they put it all in capital letters if it came out of the Old Testament. If it's a quote from the Old Testament, so if you look in your Bible, look down in your Bible, and if you see it in all capital letters, see, and the foremost is, Hear, O Israel, you notice it's all caps. The Lord our God is one Lord. That's why it's all capital letters, because it's a quote from the Old Testament. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Do you see that? That's what Jesus said. Is there any greater commandments than those? Not according to Jesus. Jesus said there's no greater commandment than these. So if we're going to start our teaching and take a break on our revelation, start our teaching on Thursday night and kind of start going. And don't you think this is a good place to start? There's no greater than these. So Shema, O Israel, means hear, Israel. He's letting them know. Let's get this straight. I want to get very clear about this. There's one God. One. Numerically, one. So how many gods are there? One God. One God. Now, what is God saying? That there's one Most High God. There's one creator of everything. There's one. And that's very important that we understand that. Okay? So I'll give you a few verses on this. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Malachi, that's at the end of the Old Testament. So Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. He says this in verse 10, do we not all have one Father? One Father. Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously each against his brother so as to profane the covenant of our Father? So those questions are, I believe, should be asked, those questions there, but think about it. Don't we have one Father? Is not God one God? One God? Very important. Then why do we act the way we act? Why do we do the things we do? So I think that was a good point that was mentioned for us to keep in mind. Mark, the book of Mark. And you'll just flip over in the New Testament there. And look at the 12th chapter again, where we was. And we're going to see the reply of the scribe. Remember, he's talking to a scribe. So what does the scribe say back to Jesus? What does he say back to Jesus? And the scribe said to him, verse 32, "Right, teacher." Notice that. "Right, teacher. You have truly stated that he is one." In the King James, it says, "For there is one God." One God. "And there is none other but he." Is that pretty simple? Isn't that plain? Isn't it amazing when we go through the scripture, we can be in church for all of our lives, and we'll breeze right through some of these. We'll just pass right through them, not realizing how important it is. So there's one God. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, it says, "Since indeed God," the King James says, "seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision." Verse 30. "By faith and uncircumcised through faith is one." So we see that. It's emphasizing that one God is going to get that done. Keep that marked. Let's look at Corinthians. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, it says, "Yet for us there is but one God." Who is that? Who is that one God? The Father. Notice that. So this one God is described over and over and over and over again in the New Testament as the what? The Father. This one God that we're talking about, he is described as the Father. Are they the same? We have the Father and this one God. And he's described, one God is described as the Father. Are they the same? Well, yeah. He's just telling us who he is. He's one God. This one God is the Father. And Jesus had a father, right? His father was the one God we're talking about. That was his father. So keep that in mind. "For yet there is one, but one God, the Father, from whom are all things. And we exist for him." We exist for him. Who's him? Talking about the Father. "And," now we got a continuation. If I say "and," am I finished? No, we continue. "And one Lord, Jesus Christ." Wow. So we have the Father, we have the one God, which is the Father, and the one Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty incredible. "By whom are all things, and we exist by him," or through him. So how do we exist? When he's talking about our existence, is he talking about our creation existence, or our existence as a redeemed, the redeemed, our new creation by Christ, what he did for us? We followed him. It's through him, through Christ Jesus. I'm not saying Christ did it. He didn't say Christ created us. We got our relationship to the Father through him. Does that make sense? It does, because he said no man can go to the, just Jesus. Jesus says no man can go to the Father but by me. But by me or through me. Okay? So keep that one in mind. Now, we're going to look at Ephesians. Ephesians. And I want to look at chapter 4 of Ephesians. I've been marking these down so you'll have them to when you're reading, you'll see them. Let's look at verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you see that? You notice when it gets to the Father, when it gets to God, he starts expressing some amazing stuff. We have one God and Father. Now he's talking about one Lord. We have one Lord. Who's our? So when he's talking about the Lord Jesus, we have one Lord Jesus, one Lord Messiah. Then he's talking about one God. Do you see that? So you have it all in the same context, a distinguishing of both Jesus and God, distinguishing them. And I think we have to keep that in mind. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen? 1 Timothy. 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5. For there is one God. And notice that? What is that I'm supposed to do when I read that and? It's a continuation, right? And one mediator also between God and men. So let's look at this scene. Very important that we see this. We got one God. And we got one mediator. So it's two different people there. We got a God and a mediator. And the mediator is going to mediate between God and men. And he tells us who the mediator is. The man, Christ Jesus. Do you see? Let me tell you, that one's a good one right there. That's a good one right there. If we're trying to figure out who God is and who Jesus is, and their roles, and how we see their differences, that's a good one right there. How many gods we got in that verse? One Most High God. One. How many mediators we got in that verse? We got one mediator. There's not going to be another one like him. He's a unique. Listen, you'll never hear me say Jesus is just a man. He's an incredible man. He's a unique man. There'll never be another one like Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. Never. Listen, The Spirit of God created him in the womb of his mother Mary. That's incredible. Ain't nobody else got brought into existence that way. There's only one other guy that had a real incredible bringing into existence, and that's when God took the dust from the ground, scraped it together, and put every cell and every DNA chain, every link, every nerve, every muscle, everything, and it just lay there, was still nothing until God, that one God, breathed in him and animated him. He got his conscience going, his understanding, his insight. He can now, them eyes that were just dirt now can see. Those blood vessels that weren't moving, now there was blood pumping through them and flowing. Those lungs that didn't have no air in them, he blew those lungs up and they started breathing on their own. That heart that just was, can you imagine the heart? All the intricate parts of the heart is all there. And look, that heart was just there beating, beating, beating for the first time. And the man stood up. Because he had a creator who created him. But we're talking about Jesus. Jesus, you know, he's not just a man. He's a unique man. Because Jesus, when he is born, he does not have the assistance of man for his DNA. God did that for him. Jesus was born without the sin nature.
Yes, without it. Hallelujah.
We were born into the sin. Because the sins are passed on from, children suffer from the sins of their fathers. It's passed on. Our father, Adam, the first father, he sinned and passed it on. The Bible says because of one man, sin, it entered. And from then on, it's been passed on. So God says, listen, if sin can pass on, the sin nature, I'm going to pass on a different nature for him. To the second Adam, or the last Adam, I'm going to pass on a new nature. That's why we got to be born again. Does that make sense now? That's why you got to be born again. You don't get born again, you don't have that new nature. I don't care how many funerals you go to. I don't care what the preacher's preaching. You can only get the new nature of Christ if you're born again through Christ Jesus. In him. You got to be in Christ. In Christ. The scripture's full of that. You ought to take a marker one time and just go through, and every time you say in Christ, just mark it. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. You'd be amazed how many marks you put on your Bible. You want to start in Ephesians, you'll find a bunch of them. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Because it's got to be in Christ. Amen? Through Christ. By Christ. Put all those in your thing and start marking them. You'll see it's amazing the stuff that happens. So this one verse right here, this is a powerhouse verse. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Very important. Do you see the distinguishings there? It's all distinguished up. Now, I'm sure we wouldn't say that it's all the same. That the verse don't tell me that God's the same, Jesus is the same, everybody's the same. It really don't matter. It does matter. It matters in Scripture. So I want you to keep these thoughts in mind as we go through this. Now, let me give you one more on this, and then we'll go. James, the book of James, chapter 2. The book of James, chapter 2. Verse 19, it says this: you believe that God is one. You believe that God is One. How many see that? And then he tells them, you do well. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. How many gods does it take to make the demons shudder? One. It's amazing it takes more gods than that for people to go to church. I'm just saying.
Yes, it's true. Amen.
It takes one God to make the demons shudder. I mean, they are afraid. They need to be. But yet it takes more than one God for people to be happy. For people to have organizations and denominations and on and on and on and on. It takes more than one God, or we just can't get to know him. You know, he's just so complex. He's such a mystery. We just can't figure him out. So we got to make him multiple gods. The scripture says, you say there's one God, you're right. Just ask the demons. Now, that might not be something you want to do. But if you did, they'd tell you. You say, man, there's one Most High God. We know that. So just keep that in mind. It's amazing. The demons got it all squared out. But the church is kind of still fighting and bickering over how many gods they got. You see where we at now? You see the trouble we in? And I know that sometimes when you talk about stuff like that, like this, especially being over here on this little peninsula, it can look like, well, they done got off on something. And I would say that's correct.
Yes.
You're very correct. We got off on something.
Yes.
And that is the fact that there's one God and one Lord Jesus Christ. And we're giving God the glory and the honor he deserves. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. That made a difference in my life. Made a big difference. One God. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Very important. Galatians 3:20. Galatians 3:20. Verse 20 says, now a mediator is not for one. Remember we dealt with that mediator verse in Timothy? There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Remember that verse? We dealt with that verse just a moment ago. Galatians says, now the mediator is not for one party only. That wouldn't make sense. So if we're going to mediate, say my brother-in-law is going to be the mediator. He's going to mediate for me, but I don't have nobody for him to mediate to. He's going to look at me and go, okay, who you want me to tell this to? Because he's the mediator. You know what you're saying? Now, the mediator needs two parties, right? God is one. Notice that. He says, whereas God is only, if you're looking at the NSAB, if you're looking at the King James, it says, but God is one. He's one. Who's on the other side of God that we can put a mediator in there to mediate for God? No, we need a mediator on this side of God. between God and men. Nobody over here. That means there'd be multiple gods.
That's it.
And we're not going to get into polytheism, right? So on this side, so he says, and I think he's emphasizing this for us. Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. So we don't have to sit, we don't have to bring God to the dark room and try to figure out how many he is. Say, okay, God, not exactly how you been feeling today. Are you feeling like one? Or are you feeling like three? That'd be crazy. Yet some folks want to do that. We got to be careful. We're not going to get into polytheism. Multiple gods. I will reference this. I'm going to get into showing you where all this started. I'm going to go back to the earliest dated literature that we have and show you where people started this worship of multiple gods. Worship of multiple gods. And I'll take you back. We're going to go way, way back. Way back. We're talking about around the flood time. Noah's flood. And we'll look at that. This thing's been around a long time. We're going to look at all these empires. The Sumerian Empire. We're going to look at India, Babylon, Greece, all of these empires. And if you look at them across the board, all of them had polytheistic beliefs. They believed in multiple gods. Hindus, Egypt, the Egyptians, we'll see that all through the scripture. So then we're going to throw in, as we're doing that, then we'll throw in Israel. The Jews. Let's throw in the Jews. What was their creed? What was the creed of Israel? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So if you're reading a verse of Scripture, and it's got two lords in it, only one of them can be God. Only one of them can be God. So I'm going to leave you with this verse right here. Psalms. Let's see. 110. Psalms 110. Let me show you how critical this is. Okay? Verse 1. Now, the NSAB corrects it. It'll correct this. I'd have to look at some of the... or not correct it. But I'll show you. Verse number 1. Psalms 110, verse 1 says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Notice that. Do you see that? The Lord said to my Lord. Now the word Lord there is different. And it is a different word used for it. We have Adonai. Adonai, which rhymes with El Shaddai. Adonai. So, the Lord, who is the Lord there? When I say the Lord, that we're talking about God. Because you got two Lords in that verse. How many of them can be God? One, because there's only one God. So what other Lord he's talking about? He's talking about Lord Messiah, Adonai. Oh, see the difference? Just the vowel point. So in Hebrew writing, you got to be careful. So in this translation I have, they corrected that, but in some translations they didn't make the correction. So you got to be careful. So the Lord, Adonai, said to Adoni. The Lord said to my Lord. So David, this is David here, well, Old Testament, he's calling Jesus his what? Lord Messiah. Was Jesus born yet? No, he wasn't born. Yeah, but he's speaking those things that have come. Well, how does that happen? It's in the plan of God. Remember we talked about the plan of God. So the Adonai, the Lord, God, said to my, David said to my Lord Messiah, the Mashiach, he says to him, sit down on my right hand till I make thy enemy thy footstool. Very important that we get this. So anytime you see Lord more than once in the verse, only one of them can be God. When it's written like this. Okay? Incredible verses. I just wanted to kind of get something started for us. And then I'll start on Thursdays. And I'll put some slides together sometimes. We'll do it. But I could put some of these verses on there. But I want you to get familiar with your Bible. Open that thing up. Move around in it. Yeah. Navigate through it. You're going to need it. Yeah. Get you a paperback one. I know we got, how many's got electronics? And we like our electronics, but get you a paper one too.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the power goes,
that's it.
You know, you still have some paper. You can kind of maneuver around a little bit. All right? Just saying. All right. Well, anybody have any questions about what we've been talking about? Or maybe you just been having a question. You've been having a question on your mind. If you have a question, I'd like to be able to, you know, address that if I can. I don't know all the answers. I'll be the first to say it. But I'll try.
When you talk about the multiple gods as far as our church, the Christian church is concerned, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the Trinity.
Right.
In case some people don't know anything, because there's millions of gods outside of the Trinity.
Yeah.
The
yep. Yep. That's correct. There's, when I start going through this, you'll see it in the scripture. You'll see that polytheism and those and the Trinity, believing that everything was surrounded around threes. I'm going to show you how that was been around for a long time, way before Jesus. Way before that happened, we'll see it thousands of years before Jesus. And it was something that just kind of kept its head up. And it's crept its way into the Christian church today. And it's been in the church for over 1,700 years. And it needs to be corrected. And that's something that we're going to work very hard on. We're going to make sure that we, listen, no matter who you are, how good we think we are, when you're on a journey and you're going, if you don't check yourself, check your message, you can get off. Well, this thing's been off for a long time, and we got to get it back. How many want to know the truth? How many of you know the truth will free your mind? When you pray, when you go to pray tonight, you lift your head up or you bow, however you do it. You're talking to the one most high God. There's not another one you can call on. The one most high God. And that's the one you should be talking to. If you got a relationship with Christ Jesus, then you can address God. If you don't, you're wasting your time. It's through Christ. Through Christ. He makes the way. Because how would God answer us? What he's going to do? Now, we know God can have mercy on us, and he's been doing that, been patient with us. God's been patient with us. And the Lord told me this in 2001 when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And it took me all this time from 2001 to right now. In the last couple of years, I've been really looking at that. But in the last 6 months, it's really been a burden on my heart. Really been driving me. And let me tell you, it makes all the difference in the world when you understand the glory of God's underived. And so when you're talking about God being one God, and then the church is making him three gods, that's an issue. I'm going to show you, I got clips, I got quotes, and we'll do this starting on Thursday. I can get more into it on Thursday. I'll start doing that next Thursday. I'll show you different quotes and clips, and I'm going to show you what scholars. I'm going to give you quotes from scholars, from the history of it. And then you decide. I'm just going to give you what my research has come up with. You decide after. But you'll quickly see, as you look at the scripture, with this Bible that we have, this is a book that talks about one God. If you go through the pages of the Bible, you're going to find that there are over 20,000 personal pronouns describing God. 20,000 personal pronouns. I, me. You understand? It's all in there. You'll see that. He. It's all in there. It just takes time to do that. When you start in Genesis 1, and every time it's addressed in God, you mark it down. It takes time. I went through two different books this week, just highlight. I took these pens, and every time it had a personal pronoun talking about God, I'd done that. Every time it was talking about Jesus, I marked it. Which one you think I marked most with? And I was in the New Testament, just to let you know. I was in the New Testament. So it's all through there. You can't read the Bible anymore without, because your eyes have been opened to the truth. It's just, boom, it's always like a brand new book. You go, wow, this stuff's incredible. Yeah, so any other question?
So was that polytheism that started way back before Rome when they started worshiping other gods, multiple gods?
Anything that's multiple gods. It doesn't have to be God being expressed as three gods.
Right, besides that.
Yep, but that's polytheism. That means you believe in multiple gods, which are most of your different religions believe in multiple gods. And so that's something that to keep in mind. But you'll see that. But this Trinity thing, this thing has been around for a long time. It dates way back to the earliest literature that we can find, where they was writing on stone. This is carved in the stone, and they found these artifacts. And if you read in the Samaritans, you read in there, and you start finding that they believed in a Trinity. They named all three gods. And so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that probably was what Aristotle picked up on. And then Aristotle taught it in his teachings. And then we had Plato come along and so forth. And then we have what I believe is a Platonic Greek philosophy is crept into the church. And we got to be careful that we don't, you know, we got to let the Bible teach us, not Greek philosophy. We got to let the Bible teach us. Remember Paul? He gave a warning, and he used the word beware. Beware. That no man spoil you through philosophy. And so it was happening early as Paul's days. There was, because you understand, Plato was before Christ. And he was, and we have Aristotle, we have all these guys, and they were infatuated with studying the gods. That's why the Greeks had so many different gods. And so they were really thrilled to study all those different. So this thing, and then And then we have this Christ comes along and he's preaching Christian. And they say, okay, we're going to convert to Christianity. Well, in converting to Christianity, people drug in their baggage with them and brought it right into Christianity instead of letting that go. They brought in that philosophy and mixed it. And we have one writer said it this way, and this is a noted writer. He said it this way. He said, we have the Greek spirit mixing with the Christian spirit. I know what the Christian spirit is. What about that Greek spirit? And do we want to fool with that? And this will get into deep. I'll get very detailed on this as we go through the study. I'm going to show you why we're having the issues we're having in the church wide today, and why is it happening in certain groups. And listen, if I mention somebody, if I mention a person's name, if I mention a church organization or a religion, I don't in any way mean to hurt. Though, but I mention it simply because it's part of the study. I'm not trying to bash anybody, but let me tell you, if I got it wrong, somebody needs to mention me. And it needs to be mentioned. And then people got to deal with it after that. But I can tell you there's a lot of it that's happened. And we have to be very careful. The scripture's clear, very, very clear. There's one God, one Lord Messiah. And he is not the Most High God. As much as people want to make Jesus the Most High God. And he's not the Most High God. He's the Son. It's repeatedly said in Scripture. He's the Son of the Most High God. Not the Most High God. He's the Son of the Most High God. Outside of the Most High God performing a miracle, I believe a miracle in the womb of Mary. He said he begotten him. The begotten literally means to bring into existence. It's credible. He brought him into existence. Did God always have him in his plan? I mentioned that on our first part of the series. The plan of God has always been his plan. He's got everything planned out. Everything is in the plan of God. And then he put everything into motion. That's why when you read scripture like that Christ was crucified before the foundations of the world. Do we really believe that somewhere in outer space he was hanging on a cross? That's not what he means. What he means is in the plan of God he was crucified. So before Adam and Eve sinned, he already had a payment to get us out. That's an incredible God. Before I ever messed up, he already had a plan to fix me. So when I thought I didn't have no hope, he'd already spoke hope for me. The Bible also says that he gave grace to us. Grace. Can you imagine? He said, I gave you grace before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you, those waves was hitting that beach a long time before Jesse was even born. Then I was born and I sinned and I transgressed and I had waves hitting the shores for me before I'd done all that, before the foundations of the world. He said, I got grace for you. Before I figured it out, before I decided to come and tell him I love him, he loved me. That's that one Most High God. It's incredible. Do I want to live for him more than I ever have in my life? I've never felt the way I feel right now. And that's what happens when you get a picture of the one Most High God. It changes everything about you. And it's a big gap in the church today. The devil's had his way for a long time. So guys like me, I'm a fisherman. I grew up on Tiger Pass. I'm nothing from nowhere. Do you understand? So if I say something like this amongst the thousands and thousands of organizations that believe that God's three people, then of course I'm going to look like I'm off a little bit. You know, you got to watch Brother Jesse. He done lost it. That's all right. I'm going to keep on losing it. Just let y'all know. I'm gonna let y'all know y'all got a crazy one on your hands. I'm a little crazy. Because you got to be, listen, you got to make a decision when you start preaching. You got to decide. And listen, it took me a long time to come to this understanding. Didn't just come to it overnight. Took me a long time. Because all my life, all I ever knew, was God was three people. That's all I ever knew. Until I started reading the Bible. And I looked at it and I said, well, it's amazing there ain't none of these verses been pointed out. And once you know the truth, it frees your mind. You can't go back if you wanted to. It just, because every now and then you're going to come across a scripture like Timothy. There's one God. And what are you going to do with that? You're going to go to McDonald's and get you a $3 hamburger?